We have much to be thankful for. So, okay, this morning I'm not going to take you to a specific passage. I'm breaking away from 1 Thessalonians. I think just for two Sundays, I want to cover something else with you this morning and next week. So you know the saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? But I don't think that's true in the spiritual realm. I think absence in the spiritual realm makes the heart grow darker. Haven't you found that? If you neglect your time with the Lord and your time with the Word, what's the result? Do you grow fonder of Him? If you neglect the gathering together of the saints, do you grow fonder of the saints? No, you don't. We have the opposite problem. If we neglect the things that God has given us to do, the duties of reading the scriptures, being in prayer, being in fellowship with the believers, if we neglect those things, we become hardened, period. Because we have this enemy in us, this sinful, wicked enemy that is constantly at enmity with God, and it will do anything, justify anything to push back at that that obedience that God requires of us. And so one very dangerous thing that can happen in your life is that you are removed from or somehow stopped from fellowshipping with the believers and reading the scriptures and praying and partaking of the grace of God, the means of grace. And we've just come out of a long period like that. We've not been able to meet, and I fear that perhaps to some of us, our sinful inclinations and Satan himself has tempted us to become darker rather than lighter. Darker in our own love for the comfort that we've been in, because who hasn't been comfortable not having to get up early Sunday morning and, you know, get back to church? And who hasn't been comfortable not having to deal with other people's issues and problems and distractions and so on? So what I want to do this morning is I want to spend some time just going through the reasons why the local church, why this body of believers and every other local church for that matter is important. Now, I'm going to talk about it in a broad sense, but I'll make application to you, why it's important for you. Okay, but I'm going to bring up some 10 points specifically, why this church is important to you and just important in itself. So, let me just mention something before I pray with you. As you all know, God's grace is communicated to us through means, okay? One way to see this is you didn't wake up one day and were just saved. God chose to save you, to communicate his means of grace for salvation to you through means. You heard the gospel preached. That was the means by which God chose to save you. And you believed the gospel. We are saved by grace through faith and faith in the gospel, right? In the promises of the gospel. And so God's grace is always communicated to us through means. And you know the means of grace: the Word of God, prayer, the sacraments, which is baptism and communion, and then probably the most important means of grace is the church. We all know that in the church, all of the above, the word and prayer and sacraments are all practiced, which are means of grace. And then we can add to that, in the church, fellowship, which is a means of grace, and church discipline is exercised in the church. So the church, and I mean specifically the local church, is important. It's the means of grace. So I want to pray with you now, and then I want to walk you through 10 reasons why this local church or the local church is important to you. And I do this to remind you so that you can, again, by the grace of the Lord, that a love for the church, the local church, a love for the gathering of the saints will be kindled in your heart, so that we will, in the end, be, I almost want to say, reignited with a love for the church and a hatred for that laziness and comfort and all of these other things that we tend to love naturally. And that draws us away and makes us darker towards God. So let's pray. Father, as we approach your throne of grace this morning, we thank you that we can pray with confidence because you have called us out of the world. You have entered into a covenant with us, Lord. By baptizing us into Christ, you have made promises to us. Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will be amongst us and in us, and that he will speak to our hearts and reignite a love for one another and for the church and for all of the, a thankfulness for all of the things that we receive and for a expectation for all the things that we can give through your grace. Lord, I pray for this morning. Amen. Right, so this morning I want to focus on the church as God's ordained means of grace to you, as I said. And we want to answer the question, why is the local church important? And I'm going to give you 10 reasons why. First of all, before I start with those 10 reasons, we want to just define what the local church is. What is a local church? Okay? The Bible uses many different illustrations or metaphors to speak about the church of Christ. You'll recognize these. It uses things like the bride of Christ, or the household of God, or the fold of Christ, or the slave of Christ, or the temple of God, or the body of Christ. Now, I want to use this last one to come at a definition of the local church. I'm going to use the body of Christ as a way to come at a definition of the local church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul speaks to these believers. And in verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, he says to them, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." When he says you, who is he specifically talking to? To which church? To the church in Corinth. This was a local church, and he says to them, "You are the body of Christ." Look again with me at Romans chapter 12. He does the same thing there. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 5. "Just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Again, this letter is written to a local church. And when he says to them, "We are members one of another," he's talking to them and saying, "You guys are the body of Christ, and you are members one of another." Now, when you hear Christ's body, perhaps you've had teaching on it, and you know that the body of Christ is this universal body that is, you know, all over the place. It's in heaven and it's on earth, and you don't really know how to define the body of Christ. And so I think because of that, some think of Christ's body as a mythical reality, or a mystical entity. Mystical means it's intangible and immaterial. And it is true, as you have been taught, that the body of Christ comprises of all believers who have been baptized into Christ beginning on the day of Pentecost. Okay, so there are those who are in heaven who are part of the body of Christ who are not here, but you know, they're in heaven and we can't see them, we can't touch them. They are in that sense intangible and immaterial. But when you come to the earth, and this is really important to understand, when you come to the earth, this body is not a mystical entity. It's a spiritual entity. What I mean by that, it is a body that is filled by the Holy Spirit. That is what makes this body spiritual. It is not immaterial or intangible. It is a spiritual body, but you can see it. You can touch it. You can hear it. You can smell the body if you really want to, and you can taste it, you know, if you really want to. My point is that the body of Christ is not an immaterial, intangible thing. It's made up of us. We are the body of Christ. So just as a physical body, Paul says in Romans, has physical members, the body of Christ is made up of individual members, physical members, found in a local church. So the local church, therefore, is the tangible expression of the body of Christ. Mark Dever defines a local church as primarily a body of people who profess and give evidence that they have been saved by God's grace alone, for God's glory alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then he adds, a church is a local collection of people committed to Christ, now listen, to regularly assemble and have his word preached and obeyed, including Christ's commands to baptize and celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now let me put those things together to come at a definition. Okay, so first off, we see that a local church is a collection of believers. That's what he says, and that is what we see when Paul speaks of the body of Christ, right? Hence the body of Christ. That's why we are the body of Christ, because we are a collection of believers. So first of all, a local church consists of a collection of believers, hence the body of Christ. That's the way I wanted to say it. Does that make sense? Okay. Secondly, and this I get out of Mark Dever, which I think is biblical and true, a local church has biblical practices, like regularly assembling together, like expositional preaching, like biblical use of the sacraments, which is baptism and communion, and like church discipline. Now, that's a positive and a negative sense, right? Church discipline in a positive sense is instruction, and in a negative sense is correction. So first off, a local church is a collection of believers, not just confessors or, you know, people who are sort of tag along with Jesus, but they are not filled with the Holy Spirit and believers. A local church is a collection of believers. Secondly, it's a local church practices biblical habits like regular assembling, expositional preaching, baptism and communion, and church discipline. And thirdly, a local church has a biblical structure, which we see from 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and Titus and even Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, biblical, it has biblically chosen leaders who must provide oversight and will give account for the people under their care. So as you can see, the idea of the body of Christ is very, very tangible and practical. We are the body of Christ. You are part of the body of Christ when you become a member of and a believer in Jesus Christ, and you make yourself part of a local church. So this is what we're talking about when we say the local church. It's not a building, it's not an institution, it's not an organization, it's also not a mystical body of people. It's the local expression of the body of Christ marked by biblical practices and biblical leadership. Now we come to our main question: why is this local church important? Why is the local church important? And I'm going to give you 10 reasons. Number one, the local church is important because it is the body of Christ. This means that on earth, every local church represents Christ. You see, the local church is the feet of Christ, the hands of Christ, the eyes of Christ, the mouth of Christ. This is why we're commanded to be holy just as He is holy. We, as the body of Christ, reflect the unity and love that is in the Godhead. Love one another as I have loved you. We forgive each other just as God in Christ has forgiven us. We are at peace with one another just as there is peace in the Godhead. We are devoted to one another, just as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is to each other. And then we do good to our community, just as God does to His creatures. You see, the local church shows the world who God is. It is the body of Christ. Second, the local church is important because it was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. In Acts 20, verse 28, Peter is on the beach there talking to the leaders of the Ephesian church, and he says to them, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." Now that puts an internal value on each and every member in the local church. You see, every single member in the local church is precious to Christ because He has bought them with His blood. And they therefore must be to you as well. This is why Jesus says, "Love one another, value each other, just as I have loved you." Just as I have loved you. In the same way, love one another. Number three, the local church is important because it is the pillar and support of the truth. Now, I get that from 1 Timothy 3:14, where Paul says to Timothy, the church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and support of the truth. Now, as you know, the gospel, this word, is entrusted to every local church. And it is incumbent on us as the local church, as the body of Christ, to defend and proclaim the truth. It's the local church that must defend the gospel against the lies of our culture. It's the local church that has to defend the gospel against deceptive teachings of false teachers. It is not just for someone out there. It's us. This treasure has been entrusted to you and to me. That's why we teach. That's why we are deeply invested in studying and coming to understand the gospel, understand the word, so that we can teach it, proclaim it, live it, and protect it. You see, if the church fails here, we put our own salvation and those of our communities we're serving at risk. Now, does that sound a bit extreme to you? If we lose this, if we dilute this, we put our own salvation and those of the people that we are serving out there at risk. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Read this with me. And I'm saying this to you because this is what makes the church important. It's the pillar and support of the truth. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul says to the Timothy, a pastor, he says, "Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Pay close, now this is obviously true for all of us. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching, since you are the body of Christ. Persevere in these things, because as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. If you fail to persevere in the truth, the implication is that you will not be saved. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. You have to persevere to the end. You have to persevere in the truth. If we, for some reason, I'm just taking an extreme example, should at some point turn and become Unitarians or become, you know, like you know, what has happened in our country and with some of the mother churches, is they've denied the deity of Jesus Christ and the bodily resurrection. If we do that, we will not be saved. We are saved by faith in the gospel from first to last. And so are those around us. We don't want to dabble with the word. We want to be under its authority and true to its teachings. So number three, the church is the pillar of the truth and support of the truth. That makes it very important. Number four, the local church is important because this is where the means of grace are ministered. The sacraments of baptism and communion, the ministry of the word, prayer, fellowship, church discipline, these are God's ordained means through which He ministers His mighty grace to you, and they are primarily practiced in the local church. Number five. The local church is important because it is Christ's ordained bunker for your protection. It is Christ's ordained bunker for your protection. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And as we also know, the church, within the church, church discipline is exercised, which is a means of protection for you. The local church is God's ordained means of protection. And to do this, He calls shepherds to care for your soul. And they will give an account of their work to Him. Now, this cannot happen on a digital platform. So as helpful as the guys are that you listen to over the internet and the books that you read, these gentlemen cannot be your shepherds. So there's no such thing as digital church, okay? Even though you sit in on the services of some of these churches, that is not being part of a local church. You see, the church, the local church, is Christ's ordained bunker for your protection. It happens there in the local church. It's there where God has given His shepherds to, as Hebrews says, take care to care for your soul. And it is also there in the local church that fellowship happens, that discipline happens, that all of these things that by which you are protected and sanctified happens. So, number five, the local church is important because it is Christ's ordained bunker for your protection. Number six, the local church is important because this is where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are exercised. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 8, I'm going to read it to you. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Can you do that when the church does not meet? No. That happens in the local church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 and 28. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church, and then He lists all of the gifts: apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Let me just add the list that he reads in Romans. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, showing mercy. All of those things are given by the Holy Spirit to individuals who are part of a local church so that the local church can be built up. And this is Paul's major point in chapter 12 and 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians. He says, guys, you don't receive these gifts to make something of yourselves. You receive it so that the church may be edified and built up. The local church is important because this is where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are exercised. Number 7. The local church is important because it provides you with a family. It provides you with a family. Matthew 19 verse 29, Jesus says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. Where do you receive this? When you leave the world, when you repent and turn to Jesus Christ and you leave, and maybe in your case or in the case of the Jews who definitely left families behind because they didn't want to, you know, they were ostracized when they turned to Christ. This happens in the Muslim community still. We may not have felt this as acutely as that. But when people leave, where do they find new mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters? In the local church. Jesus says, pointing to the people sitting there, he says, these are my brothers and my sisters and my mothers and my fathers. This is my family, the people who hear the word of God and do it. In that sense, when you became a believer and coming into the local church, this is where you received mothers and sisters and brothers. And what is yours is mine, and what is mine is yours. It ought to be that way, because we're family now. You see, the local church is important because this is where God provides you with that family. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much, and with it will inherit eternal life. You see, the church is the household of God. This local church. God is our father, Jesus is our older brother, and we are the siblings. The local church is the embodiment of this spiritual reality. And remember that I said to you that the body of Christ is not a mystical reality, but a spiritual one. But where is the spiritual household? In the local church. Number 8. The local church is important because this is where you physically express your love for Christ. Local church is important because this is where you physically express your love for Christ. Matthew chapter 25. Don't have to turn there with me. You know the parable that Jesus tells the disciples. In the end of the age, the king will come and he will divide people into two groups. Verse 31, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Now, I just want to focus on what he says to the sheep. Then the king will say to those on his left, verse 41, sorry, 34, 30, 41. No, on his right. He puts the sheep on the right, right? Am I right, right? Okay. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. You were hospitable to me. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, these brothers, not somewhere out there, to the extent that you've done it to one of these brothers of mine, you have done it to me. The local church is important because this is where you physically express your love for Christ. 1 John 4, verse 20 to 21. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So, in other words, don't say you love God if you don't love the church. Because you're a liar, says John. And this commandment we have with him, from him, that the one who loves God should love his brothers also. You see, we don't express our love for Christ by cherishing warm feelings for him. We express it by loving the local church. We don't express our faithfulness to Christ by, you know, cherishing some faithful feelings. We express it by being faithful to his body. If you want to measure how much you love Jesus, look at your faithfulness and your love of the brothers and the sisters in your local body. That will tell you how faithful you are and how much you love God. So the local church is important because this is where you physically express your love for God. Now, I don't want to end on a negative note there, right? That I think all of us can grow in this. But let's end it this way, okay? Isn't that exciting that whatever you do for one of these, you're doing directly for him? Who wants to come to my house this afternoon? I want to serve you, man. Because that's serving Christ. Okay? That's serving Christ. Number 9. The local church is important because this is where you can serve. Or when it not can, but this is where you serve Christ. The local church is important because this is where you serve Christ. I'm just reminding you again. Matthew 25:40. Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So this is where that happens, in the local church. If you're not part of the local church, if you're not faithful to the local church, this cannot happen. The local church is important because this is where you serve Christ. Number 10. The local church is important because this is where Christ serves you. Now, I don't want you to understand me wrong. I don't mean that like the false teachers who make you believe that he wants to give you what you crave in your passions, right? Health, wealth, and prosperity. He's not serving us in that way. We thank the Lord for that. That's like a parent giving his children chocolate and, you know, whatever else that's really bad for them. He's thinking he's doing good, but he's really just making that kid sick. That is what God would have been like if he was giving us health, wealth, and prosperity all the time. That's not what we need. No, Jesus serves us. He serves us by, in the local church, giving us his word. He serves us through, in the local church, giving you fellowship. He takes care of your spiritual needs here. He takes care of your physical needs here. You see, it's through the ministry of the local church that he comforts and encourages and exhorts and disciplines you. So the local church is important. It is the body of Christ. And this is where it all happens. So let me close. And I think there's just three simple applications. Thankfulness. Be thankful for the local church. Be thankful for this church. Number two, be diligent to protect it. Be diligent to be involved in it. You can't protect it. You can't love it from a distance. Okay? Be involved. Be committed. And then number three, be faithful to participate in the body life of this local church. This is where it happens. This is where Christ will take care of you. And this is where you can learn to love the Lord. Lord, we thank you for this body of believers called the church, and we thank you that it's not some weird, esoteric, mystical idea out there. It's practical. We are the body of Christ. We are your body, purchased with your blood. And so, Lord, we want to ask that the Holy Spirit will help us to love this body, because in loving this body, we are loving you. And to serve this body, because in serving this body, we are serving you. And Father, we thank you that through this body, you serve us as well. Lord, that's always such a striking way to put it in my heart, that you serve us. I think of the fact that you left heaven because you had our interests at heart. Lord, we want to be like that, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us through this body to grow into a people who are like that. People who regard the interests of others as more important than their own. People who are willing for the sake of honoring you and glorifying you, because we love you, are willing to lay down our lives. And Lord, I pray that you will do this in us according to your promises and for your glory and for our joy. Lord, we know that you are committed to that as well. You want us to have joy. You came that we should have life and have it in abundance. We thank you for your kindness toward us, Lord, and your goodness and your plans for us. Amen.